Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's all about jamming a big monkey wrench into the mechanisms of the New World Order and its mind control operations that try to convince you that you're not an incredibly powerful individual that can change the world. I can assure you that history is literally full of people that by themselves have changed the world. Indeed, the only people who really have. Understand that and understand it good and proper, ladies and gentlemen. You are the one who can change the world, if only you would believe it. My very special guests are Crystal Clark and James C. Horak. And we've only got a few minutes left. And James, I wanted you to finish your point about these. You were mentioning off a whole number of names of these men who are capable of shedding their genius onto whatever kind of aspects they wanted and the accomplishments therein that really kind of sent echoes throughout humanity. Because I thought it was quite encouraging.
Yes, and the only reason we don't have them today is because there are stopgap measures that have been employed in education and vaccines and other things that have kept this flower from blossoming. But we have today, we have kids that, if given the direction, might have that genius. The sad thing about our science and technology is that everything's compartmentalized, everything comes under some kind of security classification. Nobody has the overview. So if we did have a genius, if we did have someone that was capable of taking something and running with it and creating something new, they wouldn't have the overview. They wouldn't have the tools to do it with. They wouldn't have the opportunity to do it because everyone is afraid of corporate secrets. They're afraid of satisfying the restraints of compartmentalization, which is useful to those that want to control technology, want to keep anything from being invented that will challenge cartels, corporations, and their hold on utilities, their hold on oil, their hold on this, and their hold on that across the board. This began with Edison. Everybody thinks that Edison was so wonderful. He wasn't wonderful. He had a school of inventors, just like Maupassant had a school of short story writers, and he did more to help industrialists suppress technology than otherwise. That's why he had so many problems with Tesla. He cheated Tesla out of $100,000 when he challenged Tesla to build one of these transformer stations that would up the voltage of direct current, because he wouldn't listen to Tesla when Tesla said, I can convert this to alternating current and you won't have to worry about losing voltage when you go up a skyscraper. So that's not very bright. We give Edison far too much credit. He was in the way of technological advance, not the other way around.
So, whoa, was Thomas Edison the one who invented the light bulb, right? Ironically, he wasn't that bright.
Not really. No. And, you know, we give Marconi the credit for inventing the radio, and he didn't. There are just a number of things that came up. We give Teller, Edward Teller, the credit for inventing the cyclotron, and he didn't. His graduate student did.
Hey, and in fact, this is something that's happening in the scientific community big time nowadays, is a genius will come up with a great invention, and then they'll go to their professor or the head of the dean or whatever the frack, or somebody who they really respect in the scientific community, and they get surprised when the mother fracker steals that off them.
Well, that's what graduate students have to accept. They're in there to get their meal ticket, which is a master's or a PhD, and they have to put up with all this crap from... See, every graduate student has what's called a committee, and that's a certain number of professors who have tenure who... They'll even tell him how to write. You know, he may be proficient in writing or whatever, but he has got to deal with, in many cases, a self-important pedant. And I've seen this. I've been a graduate student, and I know what I'm talking about. So, and then you say, for instance, you get through all the political aspect of it. You have to go in and defend your dissertation if you're a PhD candidate. And, of course, they can throw all kinds of obstacles in your path if they just don't want you to get that meal ticket.
Now, this reminds me of when I was in university, and I don't know about you, James, but I always coasted through high school. I coasted through university, you know, just getting C averages without even trying. And then they gave me the option of doing an essay. And one of the options for the essay was anti-television discourse. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's my bag. And I was like,
you got an A, didn't you?
Let me finish. For the first time ever, I read source material. I put bibliographies, notes, and things of that nature all through this essay. I showed it to my friend's dad, who was a English professor at the university, and he said it was just brilliant. And they gave me a D.
Really?
And that was the moment that I realized that it was the opinion of the marker that television was inherently good for everybody, that my analysis disagreed with, even though all of the evidence that I just, basically, this is what I thought, you know, it was evil because of such and such and the short attention spans and blah, 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 blah. And it turns out that all of the source material that they gave us to read actually proved what my opinion was. And I put it down and they gave me a D. And it was at that moment, that very moment, that I realized this is BS. This whole university system is complete BS. You know how many times I've actually found some kind of a usefulness out of my 2 years of university, like one bit of knowledge or any bit of knowledge that has actually ever proven useful in any situation at all? None.
Well,
of any kind.
Vincent, I disagree. You have the knowledge that it doesn't matter. So you're not opining.
University didn't teach me that. University didn't teach me that. I taught me that.
No, it did teach you that because you had that experience and learned from it.
Yeah, the people that unintended consequence, maybe.
Yeah, well, look around you. All the people that think
like
that
university
they are...
actually accidentally taught me something.
It didn't intend to.
Yeah. It's like, oh, bro. Now I've figured this out, and I haven't finished my third year of university, and I'm not gonna because I'm learning a heck of a lot more information off of people like you.
Vinny, we're having too much fun. Do you know that?
Yeah, that's always been my problem. It's like that was the thing that also really bugged me is, you know, just thinking back on it now, how much fun have I had on this show learning really incredible, interesting things that are actually really quite profound and teach me lessons about who I am as a person and how the universe really works and that kind of thing. You know, like these things I feel are really important and I've had a lot of fun doing it. And I didn't have any fun or find virtually any interest out of 2 full years of university work, regardless of the subjects that I was studying. I think I did like take 12 different subjects that were like completely different, you know, from Japanese to world history to communication studies and film and media and everything like that. And it was all boring.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the agenda of higher education is not to teach you critical thinking. It's actually to teach you to be critical of people who can actually think.
Yes.
and that starts in with public education. You know, that starts in the first grade of public education. They have a syllabus, and anybody that is a great teacher that can inspire is constrained by that syllabus. That's why they quit.
It's more like a succubus.
Yes, yes, it is. It
That's
is.
A really good pun there, isn't
Syllabus
it?
Succubus.
Yeah.
We need to, how about some lyrics, a song? They got me with the syllabus succubus.
Yeah. I mean, the syllabus does succubus quite a lot. And
Yes, I was waiting for that.
This is how much the syllabus sucked you, boss. Okay,
yeah, so
we've only got 1 minute left to go, and I would like to give out your websites. Sorry, I haven't remembered to do that in the first place. So emvsinfo.blogspot.com, that's emvsinfo.blogspot.com, that's James's website. drowninginabsurdity.wordpress.com, that's drowninginabsurdity.wordpress.com, is Crystal's website. She also has another one, The Soul Society. That's Soul, S-O-L, thesoulsociety.com. And we've got about maybe, 20 seconds each to wrap up and say one, you know, profoundly encouraging thing before we finish up the show. It's been a pleasure.
Crystal?
Well, thank you for having us. And I just encourage people to recognize that they are capable of creating the future they know that they deserve. They just actually have to do it.